I used to teach fifth grade at a local elementary school. One of my students, let's call him Pete, seemed to have lots of friends and be one of the most popular kids in the classroom. He thought, however, that no one liked him. How could this be? It is so sad. Here's a kid that should be enjoying school, enjoying all his friends, enjoying the fact that he was so well liked, and instead, he thought no one liked him. He was wrong. He was misinterpreting the information he was getting from the outside world, and he was creating in his brain inaccurate thoughts. How many years is he going to be like this, thinking no one likes him? He might still be like this today. It sort of reminds me of my own life. When I was 4, my mom remarried, and all of a sudden, I got 6 new siblings. I would do it with one hand, but I got used to. I wanted to fit in. I wanted to be liked, to be accepted by my new siblings. I tried to fit in, but it just didn't seem to work. After a while, I gave up trying. I found out later that I was wrong. They hadn't rejected me, but I had misread the data I was getting from the world around me. I misinterpreted the information and set up in my brain inaccurate thoughts. What a waste. 2 people, Pete and I, wrongly coming to a conclusion about our lives and the society we live in. We should have spent a bit more time to see if our conclusions were right. We were children, right? In both cases, our conclusions were wrong. Had we let some light into the situation, let the sunlight come in, take a look. Had we done that, possibly we would see better what was going on and see the truth and not have inaccurate thoughts running through our heads. Not have inaccurate thoughts that cause both unnecessary grief and unnecessary sadness. We needed to check out our thoughts. How do thoughts work in the brain? The brain is an amazing organ. There are about 80 billion individual neuron cells. They have branches, and these branches are very close to the branches of other neuron cells. Here's how it works. Let's say that I'm a neuron cell. Neuron cells have a body called a soma and branches called dendrites and axons. We'll just refer to them as branches. The branches can be 1,000 times longer than the length of the soma. So if I was a neuron cell and my branches are out there, right? Like one branch would be reaching what? A block away, right? If I'm standing this way, you got MLK, you got Shattuck, going up past the clouds, past the lower clouds, right? 1,000 feet up, 1,000 feet in the ground. That's what neuron cells are. They're tiny little bodies and giant branches reaching in all directions. At the end of these branches, you got synapses, and there are 10,000 connections from one individual neuron cell. It's amazing. So each cell can be connected to 10,000 other cells. And that's why the length is so important, right? So let's see, where am I on this thing? The most interesting thing is what happens at the tip of the branches. Now I'm going to need a couple of volunteers to help me show how this part works. Tom, thank you. And James, look at that. Wow.
So random.
I know, so random. It wasn't planned. It wasn't planned. Yeah, definitely wasn't planned. Susan, do we have that the portable mic I can carry around? Is it set up? If it's not, I'll just deal with it.
I just have to turn it on.
Oh, okay. And you might have to point me in the direction where I can find it. Perfect, and I get a chance to check where my notes are. Okay, I think that's going to work.
Perfect.
All right. Well, I really love seeing you guys. I really like being here. This is... Okay. So now you're looking at two neuron cells. I'm going to be, James here is going to be a neuron cell, and Tom's going to be the other neuron cell. We have our branches sticking out. The branches almost touch, but not quite. The gap is called a synaptic gap. And this area between and including the two tips, that area is called the synapse. So right here, where you got part of James and part of Tom and the gap, that's called the synapse. Okay. And an electric impulse travels down the branch of one of the cells. We'll start off with James here. It's going down a branch, okay? It hits the soma, okay? Now, it's traveling. Most branches don't move, but we got a creative one here. It's going down this branch, okay? Now, this branch, right when it gets to the soma, right, it could go one of 10,000 places, right? But this time it's going over there by that guy, Tom. It's going over here. It's crossing. Now, right at the end, that's where the interesting thing takes place. At the end, the chemicals start to be created at the tip. Those chemicals leave James here, and they cross over, and they get sucked in, and they go into Tom. And now the chemicals have an ionic charge, so they create like an electric impulse. So you had electric impulse going through James, right? It stops at the tip, turns into chemicals, but because they have a charge, I hope you guys remember your chemistry, it crosses over and affects Tom, and now because if there's enough of them, it creates another charge inside Tom, and then it goes through Tom, and it goes through one of his branches, ends up at one of the 10,000 ends to a whole other neuron some other place. Wow. Thank you, guys. Yeah. These neuron cells are like wires. That is why brains are talked about as being wired. I think what we should do is ever so often check out our wiring, our thoughts, to see if they're accurate or not. Let's look at the gap between the two neuron cells. I talked about that. Now, the most interesting thing, and this is where you guys come in. At the gap, okay, every time an impulse crosses over there from James to Tom, every time, this is what the book said. Okay, the gap gets a little closer, a little bit less of a gap, okay? And the receiving tip of the branch that was on Tom, right, that changes a little bit to make it a little bit easier to receive those chemical messages. So what happens is the power you guys have. See, you send the message where you want it, right? You want to think about gratitude, then you send it down the gratitude circuit. You want to think about complaining, you send it down the complaining circuit. You want to think about something that makes you happy, you send it down that circuit. Waterfalls. I got a waterfall circuit. If I think about waterfalls, I'm a little bit happy, right? So you send it down the circuit you want, and every time you send it down that circuit, it gets a little bit, the gap goes a little bit less, and the tip of the branch on the that receives it changes a little bit, makes it a little bit better, and so then it gets, the message goes faster through the brain. The brain is engineering itself. You are engineering your brain by how you think. It's amazing. So the power that you have, you get to choose where you want the signal to go and how you want your brain to be. Now, an interesting thing about our brains. The brain is sort of like me, lazy, right? Basically lazy. Actually, no, I'm taking that back. I'm changing. But I used to be lazy, right? And so the brain is like, it's like a lazy organ. It wants to do the most efficient, easy thing. So if all of a sudden you decide, hey, I want to think about something, guess what? The brain says, oh, yeah, let's think about the thing we just thought about like 5 minutes ago and that we also thought about an hour ago and yesterday and the day before that. Let's say that was gratitude. So the brain says, oh, yeah, let's think about gratitude. We've been thinking about gratitude all day. Let's keep thinking about that, you know? And so all of a sudden you have your brain automatically just trying to make you think about gratitude, about what you're happy about, right? And then because you're thinking about gratitude, you get a little bit happier and like, wow, I'm feeling pretty good, right? Now, or on the other hand, unfortunately, if you're like some people who complain, you know, there's a few of us, We complain, and sometimes we complain a little too much. And then so your brain says, oh, hey, you just complained. That's great. Let's go down the complain route. Let's send the circuit down that same route. So what happens is, as you wherever you like to send your signals, that becomes stronger and stronger, like it's sort of like a rut, right? And some ruts are good, right? Some things are good to be in. I really love being in something. I love being here and stuff like that, right? And some ruts are maybe not so good. So you get to choose, and your brain being lazy is tries to get you to do the same thing every single time. So I'm just going to do the rest ad lib. What happened to me is I learned this, and I taught a sermon on gratitude about right before Thanksgiving. And I was surprised to see what the power of gratitude does. They said gratitude engineered your brain. I didn't know exactly how. Now I know how, with this gap thing and changing and stuff. So I was really impressed with that. And then I just read on Facebook that complaining also changes your brain. Like, whoa. Right. And so I started thinking about that. And then I got a phone call. A lawyer calls me up and says, are you Jeff Palmer? Yeah, I'm Jeff Palmer. And so it turns out, my dad had died, and I didn't even know my dad, right? So When I was little, my parents, my mom and my natural dad divorced when my mom was carrying me. So they divorced, and then I never saw my dad, although he didn't live that far away, right? He could have called me once, maybe, in my life. That'd be kind of nice. One phone, you know, maybe he could, like, visit it one time, you know? I'm not asking a lot. Okay, nothing, zero, zilch, nada. So in my head, I started making this circuit. My dad, 100%, rejected me, and I had that circuit going through my head. Whenever I thought about it, that circuit, zing, 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 you know? I think I would have been a little happier if I didn't have that exact circuit going through my head, but that's what I made up when I was little. And it carried all the way until I got that phone call. The lawyer calls me up and he says, hey, your dad died and split the inheritance between you and four other people, kids, his children. So I got an equal share from a person I saw him once because I drove over to see him. But besides that, a person I basically had never seen in my life, I get this equal share with his kids that he actually raised over there in Marin County. And I was like, it was nice getting the money, but I was like, money's always good, right? But I was like, my circuit was all bad. My circuit was messed up. I had all my life spent, well, 60 years of it, spent thinking that my dad 100% rejected me, and I was wrong. And so, man, I thought, you know, I gotta look at this circuit thing. I gotta look at, see if there's any other thing going on in my head that might be messed up too, right? I mean, if I messed up on that one, you know? I mean, now I think my dad pretty much 100% rejected me, but he thought about me enough to put me in his will. You know, he thought about me some. So the 100%, that's out the window. It's like, I'm reorganizing my thought about that. Now I'm feeling a little bit better, right? And so I decide, you know what? When you got the gratitude thing going on, re-engineering your brain by using gratitude, and you got the complaining thing, re-engineering your brain from complaining, and you got me is getting these wrong thoughts in my head, I thought, you know what? I better check out my thoughts. I'm going to check out my wiring and see how accurate this stuff is. And so once I did, some amazing things started happening. The very first thought I thought, okay, what is core? Let me backtrack. The first thing I thought of, okay, I'm not going to examine the thoughts that make me happy. I'm going to keep those, you know. I might deal with those someday. I like being happy, so anything that makes me happy, I'm keeping that. But the thoughts that make me kind of depressed, kind of not too happy, I'm going to examine all of those, make sure those are accurate. And so the very first thought I thought about, what is core about me as a person? And I thought, you know what? It was this deal growing up in my family with six siblings and feeling that I was not good enough. I was not accepted by that group. And so I just started thinking about that. You know, was that true? And it turned out it wasn't true. You know, so I thought, okay, that was wrong. And so I have to rechange that. So anytime I think about being rejected by people or something like that, because I think that rejection from my family and my rejection from my natural father, I think it all kind of piled in together. And then I started, I think, looking at the world like, wow, this group probably is going to reject me anyway because I'm sort of used to that. And this other group, they're probably going to reject me, you know. So kind of get used to it, right? Your brain is lazy, right? No, sorry. Brains are lazy. So they like to send down the circuit down the same path. So it was just automatic. It's like nothing, almost nothing I could do about it until 2 months ago when I started thinking, let's take a look at the wiring, man. Maybe the wiring's messed up. So it was. It was messed up. But the cool thing is I'm fixing it piece by piece. So now anytime I think about my siblings, I think, man, they actually like me, and they liked me back then. I am accepted in this group. Now I feel, around you guys, I feel so much better. I feel like, wow, you guys accept me. Is it true?
Yes.
Right, is it true? So you guys accept me, and so that's starting to sink in. Another thing, I have to talk fast. Another thing, I started checking out my thoughts. So I had another thought. So all my life, I pretty much thought, I'm going to move someday. I'm going to move someday to a nice town somewhere, you know, maybe in the foothills, maybe Grass Valley, Nevada City, you know, where it snows a couple days out of the year. It's still pretty. You know, I'm going to move someday to some idyllic place, and there it's going to be great. And so I thought, you know what, this is the thought I've had for a gazillion years. And Mark and I were actually talking about something about moving. I go, you know what, I should check out this thought. Is this even an accurate thought? Is it, or maybe not this accurate or not, but is it like plausible, something I want to do? So I started calculating, okay, moving, what I really want to move. Let's see, I got to leave this person behind. Got to leave that person behind. That person, this person, this one. After, you know, the list got long. Most of it's you guys sitting right here. So I'm like, I don't want to move. So I'm reorganizing that whole idea. The whole idea about one day I'm going to live in some idyllic place. It's like, no. This is it. This is my town. I never thought of Berkeley as being my town, even though I lived here like, 30, 20 years? We've been here like 25 years or something. I don't know, we've been here more than 2 decades. So I never thought of this as my place, but you know what? This is my town. So I'm reorganizing my thoughts. So now I walk around the streets and I see something and it's like, or see some people and I'm like, wow, those people would probably like me if they knew me. They wouldn't reject me. And this is my town. I tell you, it's amazing. It's amazing. I had to share this with you guys. And so that was it. But I got to tell you, just something really kind of fun. If you want to play with your brain, you want to do some triggers, okay? So things get triggered, right? So one of our beloved members here loves fire hydrants. And Eleanor said she wouldn't mind if I shared it. So we're Facebook friends, and so she posts fire hydrants on Facebook page, and I see them. I'm like, wow, fire hydrants, that's cool. So then now the only thing is now she has actually rewired my brain, right? I'm actually blaming you, L, for this. Okay, whenever I driving around, if I see a fire hydrant, who am I thinking about? Exactly. And it gives me slight endorphin hit because, you know, Eleanor is such a cool person. So I'm getting this little endorphin hit. I'm like, fire hydrants? Now I'm happy because I see a fire hydrant. That's Eleanor's fault. Thank you, Eleanor. So I started thinking just the other day. I thought, you know what? That's a trigger, right? You're driving. You see a fire hydrant. Now, I bet you today, some of you are going to see a fire hydrant. You're going to think, Eleanor, that's, you know. So then all of a sudden, you have a trigger. And then you have that little bit of dopamine, little bit of a little hit in your head. And so I started thinking, wow, what if we made some triggers for ourselves? You know? Like I thought, what about the floor? Everywhere I go, there's floors. I thought, wow, what could be about a floor, how I could connect it to a trigger that would make me happy? And all of a sudden, my brain by itself, I wasn't even trying. My brain by itself was all of a sudden thinking, okay, floors, you know, like they hold you up. Okay, floors hold you up. All right, that's good. And you know, and I like wood. I love wood floors, right? And a lot of times there's linoleum and carpet. I love some of that stuff. So, you know, it's like these things hold you up. I'm getting a good feeling about floors. So what I'm doing, see, you could play with your brain, play with these triggers. So now, if I keep saying that, if I said that, I bet you 5 times a day, for 10 days, I would bet good money that for a while, if I'm walking around, I see the floor, I would start thinking something happy, and I'd get a little dopamine hit. So that's an example of other things that are happening in our lives, right? Someone complains, and you're like, you're automatically, when they complain, that circuit, that signal goes down their brain, right? And because we're built to have empathy for others, our brain automatically sends that circuit down our complaint circuit, And all of a sudden, we start feeling a little kind of depressed. You know how when someone complains, you kind of feel depressed a little bit, right? It sort of like passes it on. So now what we do, so it's like a trigger, right? Someone complained, triggered me, boom, I'm complaining in my head because I want to have empathy. It's like automatic, and now I feel a little slightly depressed. So that's a trigger. So anyway, have fun with triggers. You guys might have a lot of things. I also started thinking newspapers because the newspaper's all over my house. I thought, you know what? There's some good things about newspapers, and I started building a newspaper trigger in my head too. So it's really fun, and the main thing is if we let the sunlight come in, right? Let the sunlight come in once in your lifetime. This first time I've done this was 2 months ago. So once in your lifetime, I'm suggesting that you just take a look at those thoughts. Take a look at the deep ones, the ones that create you as a person, that make you the person you are. Take a look at them. Maybe one is inaccurate, and you might enjoy switching around a little bit. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much.